Good evening. This is the regular meeting of the Derby Board of Apportionment and Taxation. Today is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I would like to call this meeting to order at 6:08. Can we please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic,
for which it stands, under God,
with liberty
and justice for all.
Mark, do we have any agendas?
Sorry. Sure. Mr. Roche?
Yeah.
Ms. Jermaine Izzo?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
I think he said he might be late.
Okay. Ms. Mancini Wright?
Present.
Ms. Pirelli Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Patel?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Rivera?
Present.
Ms. Simmons Derby? Ms. Simmons Derby?
Present.
Ms. Simon? Ms. Wobno? Ms. Wobno? You have 7 members present.
Okay, thank you. Additions, deletions, corrections. Are there any to the agenda? Okay. I'd like to open up public portion. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Hearing none, public portion will now be closed. Item number 6 is discussion on the 2024-2025 budget.
I had, this is Issa Simmons Derby. I had a follow-up question for Brian.
Sure, Issa.
Issa, can I just ask you to just hang back a little bit?
Oh, okay, yes. I'm sorry.
No worries. He has just stepped to the mic, so he might be sharing information that might answer, you know, a question that you have. And if not, you can follow up as soon as he's done.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, everyone, for coming this evening. I really don't have any new information. I haven't changed the numbers in the document. I did send out a new document with some of the variance columns. I've been doing my best to respond to everyone's questions over emails. But certainly feel free to keep them coming, and I will keep doing my best to respond to them so that we can move forward and get this budget resolved, hopefully in early April. But now we can get into as much detail as you'd like as far as the different departments or other questions. I'm at your disposal.
Thank you very much. And Issa, I'm going to ask, can I just talk first and then you could follow up?
Yes, no problem. Yeah, please do. I'll follow up. Let me know when you're, I'll jump in when you're done. No problem. Thank you, Carleen.
Thank you so much.
All right.
So Brian, as you know, I woke up Sunday morning and I thought I've got to send an email out, and I did ask you to provide a budget that would reflect a 3.99% mill rate increase as well as a 2.99, because quite honestly, and you know, as a newly elected member of the tax board, you know, I definitely think this board, when we took these positions, we truly wanted to move Derby forward. Certainly there are, I think, 4 members at least that were on this board last time. And the stories that I've heard from the last administration and the lack of transparency with providing information, the rudeness, the condescending remarks and tone that was taken. I mean, though I hear it and it sounds horrific, that's certainly not been my experience. But when I did see the mayor's presentation to look at that number, it seemed like pie in the sky. It just did. And then I went through, after I sent my email out, and I went through the different departments and tried to identify where I felt we could reduce the budget. And I do want to take note, and I want to make sure that the Derby residents are aware that your work and your response and the level of transparency that has been provided by this administration, Mayor Joe has definitely supported your follow-up and your response to everything. And I truly appreciate it because I can only hear stories of what happened in the past, and we're certainly thankful. But when I started to go through the specific line items to look for where we could reduce by 1 mil at $766,000 or 2 mils, which would be twice that. And then I considered the fact that for a large extent, our tax base has remained stagnant for a period of 3 years. We haven't had increases. The mayor's, the last administration has gone to every single department head in the city of Derby and said, you know what? We can't give you anything this year. So they're, you know, they weren't funded for years. And now we're left at a place where we have a new mayor who comes in. He didn't run on raising taxes, I'm sure, to the extent that it is. But we are under MARB, MEFAC oversight. The next step is, you know, being designated as a tier one community. Certainly, we don't want that. It's my feeling that we're looking at a revitalization of Derby. Our downtown, you could see it. I don't know if any, when I'm looking at the landscape now, there's a difference. There's hope in this community. But if we don't do a funding of this budget and fund our police, fund our fire, fund our Board of Education, we're going to end up in MARB control, possibly. And I don't want to be, you know, dramatic, but, you know, they have definitely said, look, the lack of funding for employee health benefits, you know, we've got a deficit, you know, just under $2 million, I believe. We've got another deficit from unfunded trash and recycling programs. We've got large budget deficits, and coupled with, you know, pensions that were unfunded. There's a lot of reasons that were identified in the MEFAC report. And definitely, I think with you on board, you know, we're in such a better place even now. I'm 100% certain of it. But still, you know, when you look at the 4.6%, you know, I think a lot of people, as did I, thought, oh my goodness, how much more in taxes am I going to have to pay? So I did, you know, just a brief synopsis, and looking at the assessed value, because I think that's where a lot of the confusion was. I thought, oh my goodness, if on Zillow, my house is $360,000, I'm going to be looking at paying thousands more in taxes. But when I actually stopped to do the numbers, you know, it was actually, you know, not even 1,000 that I would be increasing my tax. And I certainly understand nobody wants increased taxes. But if I know at the end of the day, if me as a Derby resident could pay 1,000 more in taxes and get out of state oversight and fund departments, not over, you know, the numbers that we're funding aren't, you know, out of bounds. Certainly between you and Mayor Joe, you have gone to the departments and you have cut the original asks. So You know, my initial, I wanted to apologize for sending that email out. I want to thank you for your work. And yeah, I'll let somebody else have the floor, but I do appreciate it. And I think now, having spent time looking through it, I have a better understanding of where we're at and the fix that this will be personally.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay, it's Issa Simmons Derby. I actually agree with what Colleen just said, but I just had a question because one of my son's friends, they their parents, right, his parents, they said they came to me and they wanted to know questions and stuff. So I let them know that they can join, you know, they could speak, right? We have a section for the public. However, they said that their taxes, their property taxes have, they already got, they raised them already. So is that true? Like, is some parts of Derby, their property taxes are getting raised and not others? Or is that not true?
I can tell you that the mill rate has not changed and there has not been an assessment, a reassessment done. So I can't really understand that.
Yeah, so maybe they're just concerned thinking that it might be, but I could have swore that they said they did. And I'm like, so maybe he's just concerned that it might have to be done. But anyway, if that's what we need to do, we have to get out of this hole, right? And I do agree that the communication is better. And thank you for that email that you sent in regards to the grant writer. I just had a question. Does she get paid $75 an hour, like for emails, telephone calls? It's just as long if she puts in an hour, she gets paid, or is it $75 rate? Like 8 hours, 40, you know, how, like, is it an hour? Like if you send her an email, she's charging you?
Well, she's kind of like our lawyers would do it. So in increments for her effort. So, you know, if she's spending 5 minutes, she's accumulating that 10 minutes writing emails and, you know, until she gets to an hour and then she would charge the hour.
Oh, okay. But then if you exceed an hour, then she's going to charge you another $75. So say it's an hour and then she's working 10 minutes. She just gets that 10 minutes extra, or does she then get paid another hour because she's about to put in more work?
No, she would just getting paid, you know, the 10 minutes are likely. She would just hold off on billing that until she gets to a full hour.
Okay, hold on. So I was just trying to see. Let me see something. I had something put together. I'm just looking for some extra cash, right? Where I'm doing this. So if we're paying her $75 an hour, just say it's 40, does she work a whole week or is just random? Like whenever you need her? Or is she like a paid person that works 40 hours?
No, she's just when we request her to work on grants. And as you can tell, we've done very little to actually utilize our grant writer and spent, you know, not anywhere near enough money, in my opinion. So I think we've only maybe spent $1,000 or so dollars this so far this year in total.
So, and we're asking for another $20,000, right? For the grants that, right? I think that's
right. We're allocating $20,000 with the hopes that we'll be much more aggressive with our going after grants this year.
Okay, one more thing. When she applies for the grants, right, what's her rate? Like, what is her success rate? Does she get it all the time or does it not? Because I know a few people that have written grants, but it didn't actually, they were, like, competing, though. But how could you just walk me through that so I can understand? So if she's writing a grant, it's going to go through, or is it a possibility that it won't go through?
No, there's certainly a possibility that it wouldn't go through. I think most grants, I'm sure the percentage, you know, maybe 20% of the time, right, you're going to get the grant. But to be honest, she hasn't hardly gone after anything. So I'm not aware of exactly what her success rate is.
Okay.
And I say,
okay.
You know, I definitely remember, even during the campaigning, I could remember the different representatives talking about all the available grants that Derby wasn't even applying for. So yeah. I don't think she was ever directed by the past administration to go after, you know, the funding of grants that were readily available. I mean, they were quite upset thinking, we wanted to push for you, but if you don't, you know, put in a request for, you know, grant opportunities, we certainly can't support and defend making sure money is allocated to Derby. So I think part of the problem was, you know, the grant writer was never utilized. So I think the hope of this administration is to better
now,
use
let me,
that as
okay,
a resource.
Let me ask a question. So is this the same person from the last administration? Right? So this is the same person. So
yes.
I would have to play devil's advocate, right? Devil's advocate. Yes, maybe the last administration didn't use her, you know, like they should have. But if you're sitting there, shouldn't you also be doing something like, hey guys, this is coming up. Hey guys, you can get this grant. Hey guys, you know what I mean? Because you're getting paid and you want to get paid. Therefore, you want to turn over, you know, you want to find stuff to get money. So, you know, I'm just saying maybe she, you know, we should start looking for maybe somebody else who's more proactive. Like if we're going to spend 20 grand, we want somebody who is more proactive, not just sitting there waiting. You know, because you could just sit there and wait. But if you want the money, you're going to find stuff to do. Do you understand? Right? That's how I feel. But
Madam
okay.
Mark Garfalo, I'm town clerk. I just want to clarify. The agreement that was set by the Board of Aldermen a year and a half ago, this position is a contract position.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time the person gets paid is when they are performing the service of applying for a grant. If they're not applying for a grant, there's no payment. So it's really on a per project basis.
Okay, gotcha.
It's not a salary position. It's a contract position.
Yeah, so you have to give them the project.
Correct.
If not, they're not. So is it possible instead of to pay 20,000, we can put in 10,000? Like,
that's a decision for the board to decide that.
Yeah, okay. That's something that we could definitely talk about. But I do think that we should move on from this. And just as, you know, a little bit of additional information, I think some of the issue that, you know,
I think some of the issue that took place during the last administration was that the grant writer wasn't provided with the information needed in order to fully support
okay.
You know, providing a request for monies available because she wasn't provided with any information.
No,
you know, you could attest, as can this board, that this administration has been totally forthcoming. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have that same problem. And I think, you know, an increase to that budget line, personally for me, I think it's well spent.
10,000 isn't going to save us.
No.
Oh, okay. Emmett, let's give her another chance because I guess like the way that I understand it, you know, it has to be given to her, right? The projects. And if no one's given it to her, then you're not going to see her worth or what she can do. And if you guys feel like, you know, 20,000 is okay and we want to actually see, because I do agree that this administration is more together and more transparent. So I'm okay. So I'm done. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I just want to mark our follow again. Just to clarify a couple of things that I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So when it was raised like the increase or the proposed increase is 4.6%. But it's not 4.6%. It's 4.6 mils, not percent. It's mils. So, and just for clarification, no. I just want to make sure that 4%, 4.6% is a different
number,
a different number. So, but and just so everybody understands for people who are new, and for people that might be observing the meeting. So the mil, a mil, is that's the rate at which we're taxed, right? So the and we're assessed the real estate is assessed. The city holds the value at an assessed value. I mean, I'm sorry, an appraised value. That's what it holds it at based on the previous revaluation. And then we pay taxes on 70% of that value. So it's 70% of the value of the property based on the appraised amount that the assessor has from the previous revaluation. So it's not the number you might see on Zillow or some of these other websites, because that is a confusing thing. It's also not the sale price, the current sale price.
So,
and the appraised, the assessor's field cards, which means the information that has all the information about your house, including the appraised value, which is the full value, and then the assessed value, which represents the 70% number, is on the city's website. So if you go to the city's website, it's under the tax assessor, and you can look up your assessment so you can see what, and it's also on your tax bill if you have the tax bill from last year. So, and the way it's calculated is for every $1,000 of value, so the mill rate is 38.6, right? It's currently 38.6. So that means you pay $38.60 for every $1,000 of value.
Of assessed value.
Assessed value, of the assessed value. So if your house is assessed at $100,000, then you pay $3,860. If it's 200, then it's 7320, if I did quick math, and so forth. So it's for every thousand in value of assessed value, you pay that many, whatever the mill rate is. So when, if in looking at what any increase might be, you would change the mill rate, so it would then be whatever that rate would be. But based, and again, it's the assessed value, which is 70% of the full value that the assessor has on the card, which is based on the previous revaluation, which was about 4 years ago. Okay. So for calculation wise, the place to not look is on any of the commercial real estate. That is a value if you're going to sell your house, but it's based on that information. So a lot has happened in these last 4 years. Sure. So that's going to impact that. So, cause really ours was like essentially pre-COVID. So just to kind of get that. And we're going to try to put that in a concise formula so that people could see that. And we'll put if it's difficult, when you go to the Derby webpage, there's a banner that runs across the top that says for frequent asked questions. You can click that and it gives you a list of kind of the most frequent things. And if you hit tax assessor, and it'll bring it to those cards. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that's an important thing, because there's been a discussion. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows where to get the accurate information, the information that is being utilized.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay. Because like when I said, you know, to initially hear about the 4.6 mils, I probably, like the rest of Derby residents, you know, was in a panic state thinking about, how I was going to fund the significant increase in taxes. But at the end of the day, when I stopped to do my numbers, you know, to look at what would it, you know, ostensibly be less than $60 a month in total, you know, certainly it's much more palatable. And to think that
Two, you know, the mill rate has remained stagnant for a number of years, despite the significant increases in the cost of living. It should have gone up, you know, in 2021, 21, 22, 22, 23. The fact that it hasn't leaves us in the position we're at. You know, so I definitely have a much better appreciation for the presentation of this budget.
Exactly. Thank you for that information, Mark. It was definitely helpful because I know I was, you know, totally surprised by the number in the original presentation. And I do get that it was preliminary, but it wasn't until I stopped to look at the assessed value of my home and what the actual impact would be. And, you know, coupled with the realization that the mill rate has been stagnant for a number of years. So now to be looking at a place where, you know, we have opportunity to get out of oversight, we finally have a finance director with, the information that you've provided, the work that you've done, it's so truly helpful. And I can imagine you wince when you see our names, but we do appreciate it. And, you know, please know we are just trying to do our due diligence. You know, we were elected to this board. We promised that we would, try to move Derby finances in a more positive, transparent fashion. And I think this administration has definitely done that.
Well, that's great. And thank you. And like I said, I welcome all questions and from anyone. I continue to look at the budget and, you know, try to fine tune it so that we can, you know, avoid a lot of transfers and everything else. But again, I am hopeful. I think you find some good guys and some bad guys and they offset, and we're going to stay at this 4.6 mil number, but, you know, tighten up some of the assumptions around our QDS contract and some other smaller things that we've noticed and that I've found as I dig through this. And at some point I do need to stop because I don't want to, we got to put this to bed. So, I'm hopeful, like I said, we'll have a few of these things that have been brought up and cleaned up, and I'll have a spreadsheet next week that details some of the adjustments and some of the things that we've done. But again, I don't anticipate any kind of major change to the big picture, which is, you know, the 4.6 mils, you know, unless as we go along, like you said, it's a lot of money to find to move it even one mil. And we're really tight in a lot of areas. And that's what, that's what it would take if that's where we want to go. So, I'm glad to hear that there's a lot of support behind the current budget. I'm certainly supportive of it. And I know the mayor is, and let's.
And I believe you said to me, but I just want to make sure the rest of the board understands that you've been going to the MEFAC meetings. You've had conversations. You've been responding to their questions. And as of right now, this budget would definitely put us in a better place of coming out of MEFAC state oversight.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, they were happy to hear that the boards had made the decision to, bring in the ARPA funds and help solve some of the problems for this year, but they immediately all jumped on me. Well, what about next year? That's a one-time thing. And when I let them know that we were very serious about raising taxes to get to a balanced budget, they were all extremely happy, and that's what they needed to hear. That's what they're expecting. It'll be great in the, I think middle of April, we've got the next meeting. I'd love to give them that positive feedback that,
The board's been very supportive. We've got a plan in place that's got a balanced budget. It's very responsible. I think that would go a long way in getting us, you know, out of the direct oversight and more to a volunteer type basis where we were, previously.
And if you could just get me the next MEFAC date.
Sure.
Because yeah. I would like to just watch, and just something else that I really did think about, you know, throughout the last several days is that, you know, right now we have oversight. But if we don't do what we need to do, and unfortunately, you know, definitely it seems like it's, you know, supporting a budget that's going to include a mill rate increase. We haven't had one before, but if we don't, you know, we're in a spiraling vortex and we're going to keep going down. And, you know, at the point where we don't get to a place where we are funding our employee benefit programs, the pension, the health insurance, we're having a budget that is actually considered before it's voted on and approved. All those things that were identified in the September report from the state, if we don't do that, we're going to go to a MARB control. And we don't want that. You know, I definitely have seen what happened to West Haven. And at a time where we stand to move forward with our landscape changing and everything else, you know, this would bring us to a level ground. So I think it would be a good thing. But I'm glad we have this opportunity so that anybody else on the board, you know, could ask any questions while you're present.
Madam Chair, just the record should reflect that Ms. Ashley Simon did enter the meeting.
I was just going to say that. Thank you, Mark.
What time? I can't remember. Sorry. I couldn't see that.
Oh, what time did I sign on?
Yeah.
It was like 6:13.
13. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And the record should reflect she gets extra points for tonight because it's actually her birthday. So she's here. So we wish you a happy birthday. We'll be over for cake as soon as the meeting's over.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you. I'm 21. Nice.
And also the next MFAC meeting is April 17th. The mayor let me know that.
Thank you. So does anybody on the board have questions?
I'm sorry, one other thing, because there's a lot of new people. So I'm sure there's like, well, what do we do next kind of situation? Because there's a lot to absorb. So if people have questions, it's good to answer those so that the finance director can get the answers to you for next week. But if there are not specific questions, if you're ready to start you're going to have to do this anyway, is to go start at the beginning of the budget departments and see, are there any questions on a specific budget or things that stand out that might be, problematic, or because you're going to have to begin a process of narrowing, the things that you're going to ultimately then talk about. Or things that you don't need to talk about, but to kind of at least organize it in the best way that makes sense for you.
All right, Mark, Jose, obviously as a new member of the board, now what's our timeline for that? Obviously, we want to try to get it done sometime in the beginning of April, but what's our time?
The charter pursuant to Section 27.
We're going
to
go away in each department and so forth.
Sure. Pursuant to the charter, there's three like official actions you have to take. The first one is, and you can't do this till April, which is next week anyway, to adopt a preliminary budget. So then after the preliminary budget, we have to publish that. And then you have to conduct basically a public hearing where people will know what the preliminary is, and they can come and speak to that. And then once you have the public hearing, then you're free to adjust based on that input that you get from the public and, you know, whatever other input or new information as the finance director gets any other additional information. And then you have to pass the budget by April 30th.
Okay. All right. That's clear. Also, I want to just say to Brian, you've been doing a really good job, buddy. This is very new to me as a Derby guy growing up in this place. You know, obviously, without the tax increases the past few years in the last administration, you know, as I was highlighting, you know, I was very quiet in the background, but I'm highlighting and trying to understand a lot of this stuff as it's getting thrown to us. And I'm sure a lot of other people were in my same boat. But as I'm crunching down, and I give a lot of credit to Colleen for asking for those adjustments on the 299 and the 399, because I was thinking the same thing. But then when you sent the breakdown, it clarified a lot. And I feel also that this is our only issue, and this is the only way we can be able to go forward with it. So, but that's all I have. So good job, bud. And thank you.
Thank you very much, Jose. Thank you.
And the other thing, Madam Chair, sorry, just on a matter of process. I mean, if you're not ready to do that tonight, to go through each department, then don't. That's entirely up to you. But just because the last 2 years were probably not a good example of how it should be done. Actually, probably an example of how it shouldn't be done, the whole process. But there, you know, there, it's a daunting thing because it's just a large document, and a process of narrowing it, the kind of things that you don't need to talk about, things that you and need to talk about, and then so forth. That, you know, and again, it doesn't have to be tonight. But at some point you have to kind of get to that, to adopt the preliminary. And the preliminary is not cast in stone. You can, you know, that you could adopt the preliminary budget knowing that you're going to change it. So that's okay too.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
So, okay. I just have to, I mean, I totally get it. Like, in order to move forward, we've got to raise taxes. But I'm also on the other side worried. Are we driving families out of the city? I mean, okay, for some, all right, $60, $70 more a month, no big deal. For others, it's going to be hard for some parents, single moms, I mean, or even two family incomes or a stay-at-home mom. It's going to be tough to come up with another $7 if you have kids in daycare, one on the way. I mean, I literally printed off state of Connecticut, everybody's mill rate. I mean, congratulations, Derby. We're one of the highest. I mean, it's kind of appalling when you look at towns and cities that are so much lower than ours that eventually we're going to be beautiful downtown, but nobody's going to be able to afford to live here is what I'm worried about. So I totally get we have to get out of this. It's a mess, but on the other hand, too, like I said, looking at some of these other mill rates, I was kind of quite shocked. And then to add another 4.6, I mean, young families, I think, might struggle.
And I get what you're saying. You know, as soon as that went public and it was on the Derby Forum, a lot of my friends were contacting me like, what the heck is going on? Time for me to move out of Derby. Kids that I grew up with here, went to high school, played football with, were all contacting me like, what the hell is going on? And the only thing I can tell them is, you know, we're trying to work through it.
And the one thing to know is in 2020 and 2021, the mill rate in Derby was 43.87. So it actually got lower, which, again, sparks.
By lowering the mill rate, It sparked a lot of this problem. I mean, keeping it flat, again, continued it, but to drop it from 43.87 down to 38.6 that year, you know, is tough. So we're not even proposing to get back to the highest it's ever been. It is one thing to think of, but I do understand the concern for sure.
And just to clarify, the reduction in the mill rate when that went down, that was a result of the revaluation.
Valuation adjusted, the values went up and the mill rate came down. But again, as an observer to this process, and I spoke on the record because they played games with it then. They didn't adjust it correctly, and the result is the same as Mr. Hall said, that it was, you know, not being honest with the numbers.
Right. So if we had stayed where we were then.
Well, and
people are used to it.
Right. Right. Yep. And it's look in this for the new members who might not tend to speak, because you're new, you were elected to, you know, to represent, and I'm sure you're hearing feedback. There's no question you're hearing feedback. So it's important for the staff, the finance staff, and for the mayor's office and everybody to get to hear the honest feedback, the perspective that Tina did said. I mean, everybody's perspective. So I would encourage anybody, even if it's not your, you know, first comfort to speak, you know, at these meetings, and you're a good listener and so forth, but your input is important, because I think the people that you represent are counting on you. And, you know, everybody's here. This is new this year, from an absence of it. Everybody who's here is here in good faith to try to do the right thing. And this is not like an easy decision, whatever you end up with. I'm just talking about process, not about where you land on any of it. But it is critical to, if you have a point of view and it hasn't been raised, to say it, say your piece, so that it could help everybody shape this to come up with something for our community. Because that, you know, there was a following the path of least resistance under the guise of not raising the taxes. And it really was a lie. It was a big, fat lie that compounded itself. And it's important to, for those that have expressed themselves, thank you for doing that, because it helps to have this conversation so that in building it together, it'll come to consensus
Right. No, and exactly. And that's what I said. Like, and until I saw the numbers when I was like 4.6, like myself, I might be living in a cardboard box, you know, with one in college and one getting ready to go, like, oh my God, now my taxes are going to go up. And I'm thinking, oh, I just got a little raise at work. Well, there goes that, you know, and basically there goes that. But the numbers, you know, do look much better than, like, I was thinking, okay, now I'm going to be up to like probably another $300 a month. Where am I getting that? You know, like that would be a lot, honestly, and we're both working full time, you know, that would be tough, but it, you know, looking at it now, it probably won't be that drastic, thank God. But exactly like Jose said, I have had people like blowing up my phone that are just like, you're kidding me, like I can't afford to live here anymore, like this is crazy. And I'm like, I'm there with you, you know, like I'm looking at it too, like, oh my God. And I kind of felt a little bit too, like looking at it last week, like I felt like really it was only the Board of Ed that was willing to be like, okay, we're gonna cut completely in half. And I get that they are bare bones budgets, but I was kind of like, nobody else cut like the Board of Ed did. And I was just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think your understanding and my understanding of the numbers, when I originally, you know, heard the 4.6 mil, I was thinking exactly like you were. I got my income. That's all I've got. So to think that I was going to have to look at expending another $300 a month, it's significant. And I have had people approach me just as they've approached you. A Sunday dinner, my son, who doesn't follow anything, is like, what are you doing? But I think a lot of people just don't understand exactly what you were explaining, Brian and Mark, tonight, is that the, you know, mill rate would be applied on the assessed value as opposed to the actual. So I would hope that people, this community, would also do their due diligence to look at their assessed value, or, you know, look at their tax payments over the last year to really get an understanding in, you know, in real terms of what they would be looking at, as opposed to just, you know, going off based on fear. And I know it's scary. I'm not saying it's not scary. I do think, though, you know, with new businesses coming in, with our downtown finally improving, it would be my hope that, you know, with the new businesses, we'll bring in more tax revenues to hopefully lower, you know, our mill rate, because the tax base is going to be just so much broader. I mean, maybe it's not going to be next year, but, you know, hopefully we're looking at moving forward in a positive direction, as opposed to, you know, what we've had over the last few years.
Yes, and we're definitely in the process of compiling, you know, last week, what were some of those tax incentives? How long do they last? And, you know, initially looking at it, there are a lot of projects that are going up where we will start to see some benefits, you know, in the near term, you know, maybe not as big next year, but certainly the year afterwards. So, you know, that's great. And, you know, just to address some of the issues around, you know, who cut what. I mean, when the board had started theirs with a bigger ask, over 6% increase, whereas many of the department budgets asked for practically no increase. So, you know, yes, they cut it in half, and they did work with us, and that was great. But it's still one of the larger increases from a department basis. And really, when I look at this, and I compare it again to where I think we're going to land this year versus some arbitrary budget that really holds no value, the three places we're increasing, you know, our employee benefits, which, you know, there's not much you can do there. They are what they are. We're self-insured.
Or last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I'm not going to just put a lower number in there so that we're all happy. It's not real. Funding the retirement where it should be, you know, we had to do something temporary this year, and getting that back. And Board of Ed, I mean, there, from a dollar perspective, those are your three biggest buckets. And I don't recommend, and I don't think that anyone really wants to do anything with those three buckets. I mean, one, you can't do anything with, and adjusting the retirement is just hurting us again in the long run. Some of the other ones, while maybe they're a larger percentage increase, they're on very small numbers, you know. So, you know, yes, Park and Rex is going maybe up from a bigger percentage, but it's $20,000, right? So at the end of the day,
certainly not going to make a difference in the overall mill rate increase.
Correct. I mean, those type of things are just going to be, you know, we could drop them all back and we still maybe wouldn't even find $100,000, right? Not saying it's not on the table and it's not an option, but that's when you think of just, you know, where can you attack to find, like we said, one mill is, you know, $766,000. If it doesn't come out of one of those three buckets, you're really not going to get there. And so, you know, that becomes the big challenge, I think.
Hi, this is Bamini Patel. First of all, I'd like to say, Brian, amazing job. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. I'm seeing all the emails going back and forth. You've been doing an exceptionally wonderful job. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
I'd certainly like to be a part of, or just, you know, listen in, like Colleen asked about the MEPAB meeting. If you can certainly send out an invite, if I'm able to, I can certainly join. I just for learning purposes. And Mark, thank you for explaining the whole, you know, how the assessment works. One thing I do have a question for is, during the preliminary budget, will the department heads be present? Just in case if we have any questions while we're reviewing the budget and when we do the proposed, you know, not the final budget, but the budget prior. I forgot whether we had the department heads last year.
I would imagine, and I think they've all indicated that if we needed them to return, that they would be totally willing to do so. So if there are specific ones, or you're asking, you know, for all of them to attend, we could certainly ask for them to appear next week.
Yeah, this is the only reason I'm asking is just in case if the public has a question, right? For any of the department head, I think it'd be good for them to be present if possible. And second of all the conversations that's been happening about the whole, you know, mill rate increase, I totally am in agreement with everything that's been, you know, conversed so far. Absolutely. Do I want my mill rate to increase? No, just like everybody else. But is it a necessity? Absolutely. I think we've been pushing down so hard for the past couple of years or 4 years. It's time that we have to take this step. I know that people are not going to like this. I don't like it, but this is a must. We need to do this for our town, for our community. And I think the way I see it is there's going to be a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, a lot of, you know, angry people per se who are initially going to say that, hey, I want to leave this town. Have I thought about it in the past? Absolutely. But I think if the mayor has an open door policy, I think if he creates like an open sessions, maybe have like, you know, twice a month meeting and invite the public to be at the town hall or have a Zoom meeting and anybody from the public can ask questions to him. If that can be implemented, perhaps, you know, that could be an idea for public to talk to him, not just, you know, if anybody has any questions, they can go and ask and maybe he can, you know, explain how this is working. And similarly, how the assessment is being, you know, worked. I understand that it's on our website, but perhaps if we can, you know, post it on our Derby webpage or social media, do you think people would understand that? I'm just trying to make people understand and educate how this mill rate increase will work and how initially, how everybody also, you know, how we all had a confusion about the increase. Perhaps this would offer some transparency and explanation and education about how this would work and affect everyone or every household.
No, I think that's a great idea. And I wonder if anyone would volunteer. You know, what comes to mind is, here's what's on Zillow. Well, here's what I actually, my house was assessed at. Here's the 70%. Here's what I, you know, pay in taxes, and here's what I expect to be a raise, right? And if folks have a real life example, any one of yourselves, or if we can find a property that makes sense, that's probably the best way for them, because that's likely what most folks are going to do, right? They, you know, we can have them go to the website, but they all are looking to look at Zillow or whatever have you, and so, you know, working it all the way through, I think is a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. I agree, Bamini. And, you know, I wouldn't have a problem, or if anybody else on the board would, using my home or anybody else's, because I think that would give a real life scenario of.
Yeah,
I think actuality instead of, you know, everybody's fear, because I think right now people are going to be afraid. So they're not going to hear anything else. They're not going to understand what the impact will be. They're just going to be angry and outraged, never understanding where maybe, you know, if we were to present that kind of information in a public forum, it would offer opportunity for people to go back and do their due diligence to look at the assessment value, maybe even including a link to, you know, the site that Mark was referring to for, you know, specialized questions. So it's right there. It's readily available. You know, we use one of our, you know, real life scenarios, and then there's a link, you know, so they could click on the link to identify what their current assessed value is to do the numbers.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, it we can add multiple real life scenarios. You know, I'm sure there are different properties that people are going to have questions, like business folks, you know, personal homes. Everyone is going to have that question. And we can just do like a mock-up scenarios and, you know, create personas and have that mock-up scenarios. And we can post it kind of like a little, you know, one pager PowerPoint chart, something that's easily understandable, because I think, you know, instead of creating fear, which will initially happen if we don't do this, is I think what our residents need is an education as to why this tax, this mill rate is being increased finally after, you know, 4 years, because this is a necessity. We have to do this. But, you know, it's an education piece. I think if we educate our residents, there will be less outrage. I think they will be less fearful.
Agreed.
And maybe they'll just all agree to it, you know, because they'll understand. I think education will make people understand why we are doing what we're doing, because it's not, we're not imposing this on the public. We're also the town residents. We are also imposing this on ourselves as well, right? Colleen, you and I talked about it this afternoon. And it's a necessary evil that we have to, you know, play by.
Well, that's another thing, you know, it's just like the public has to realize that the last administration put us in this position, you know, and this is the only way out.
Can I just say, sorry.
You're okay. You're no problem.
Okay. I just wanted to say, this is Issa Simmons. I think we all know what the last administration did, right? But if we want to tell people, right, who are, you know, they lean either left or right, right? Or, you know, so it's like Democrat or Republican. I think we should, like, just not mention or be kind when we mention the last administration, just to get everybody on board, just to show that we are all united, no matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, because we don't want to just go out there and say, yeah, the last administration did X, Y, Z, even though we know it was that person who was part of that administration or that party, right? But it was actually the person just did a bad job. So either we name the person and we keep it there, or we name each person that, because I'm new to Derby, so I really don't know. I've only been here for like almost 3 years, so I don't know how. I don't know the other mayors, but I just think that we should just keep it like where we can all unite, instead of like pointing the fingers, because then people might feel a certain way, like, oh, well, I don't want to do this, you know, just keep it on, because I think that's a good idea, like showing them, using us as an example, us coming together as a community and say, yeah, this person who was here last time, you know, didn't do the best job that he could have done. However, we're together, collectively working together as one. And we're all hurting because the economy is crazy right now, right? Like food is high, gas is high, everything is high, everything is going up. It's just really hard to live right now. Maybe not for some, you know, maybe some people make money and some people struggle, right? But I think if we use ourselves as an example, like, yeah, and then we're even, you know, we all also put our truth out there, like, oh, wow, this is going to hurt me as well, but we're sticking it, you know, we're going to find the money because this community is worth it. The people that are neighbors and the people who live here are worth it, you know? So we just come together collectively. That's all I wanted
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why we need, I think, this administration has been running on, right, open, transparent communication. And I think if we just offer that, then I totally agree with you, Issa.
Yeah, the one thing that I would take, I would disagree with is, you know, everybody's struggling all across the nation. However, for us, currently, we're in the position we are because, you know, the cost of the medical insurance was left flat last year. Anybody that deals with, you know, medical insurance on an individual basis, let alone, you know, for me, a bargaining unit, in this respect, the whole community, the fact that that remains stagnant, flatline budget, that's just factual, that we were left with, you know, just under a $2 million deficit.
that has to be identified.
No. And I agree with you. It should be.
I agree, Colleen. I agree. That has to be absolutely identified.
I agree with you, Colleen, that it should be identified and we can name the person Zekin, right? That is true. I'm just saying, let's just keep party out of it if we want people to come together, because you know how it is. It's tension right now. It's Democrats versus Republicans. It's left versus right. So we want to kind of change the narrative, right? That we can work together collectively as one because we care about the community. But I'm not saying not to name him because he did a bad job.
I don't need to name him. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I don't want you, like, I'm not saying don't, you know, say Zekin, the mayor who was here last, he did a very poor job or he didn't do the best job. I'm not saying that we can't say that, but I'm just saying let's not put it on party lines. If we want people to come together, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just to clarify, this number of flat budgets, the budget was actually $1 million below what we landed at the 22-23 actuals. So it was, if we were budgeting flat, it would have been $1 million less of a problem that we would have been facing. The fact that it was budgeted $1 million below is really irresponsible.
And everyone knows that. The residents in Derby know exactly what the problem was.
I agree.
So perhaps there just some perspective. I think those are awesome comments that everybody made. And there's a long tradition of bipartisan cooperation on the tax board that's gone for many years. So it's great that you clearly all have expressed that, I mean, issue, because it's really just about dealing with the issues that are in front of everybody. And you know, we could defy the national commotion by coming together in town here. So I add another suggestion to what was said. I mean, perhaps we can talk to the assessor tomorrow and maybe, we can pull from the assessor's system, you know, get it into Excel with, you know, and have it in one document. It'll actually be easier for people to look at it. So you could have everybody's in there and with all the columns that you need, and we could populate it with the explanation, kind of get it into one document for everybody to see it. So if you want to look and see what it would be, this mill, that mill, whatever it is, I think it'd be just something kind of like an executive summary or whatever word you want to put on it, but then you could specifically look at yours without having to go in and then calculate it and so forth, because, you know, education is critical to, as said before, and, you know, information, you know, getting people the information is really so that people can make a decision based on the facts. Most of all, the 10 of you folks on the tax board, as volunteers, I said this 1,000 times in the last 2 years, you're volunteers. And it's a critical part to the city to have your judgment, because you're all talking to, you know, you're 10 people. So you're in 10 different circles of people. But you can only make your decisions based on the information that you're given last year or whatever. But one of the things that gets talked about the least, and this is especially for the new people and for the people who have been around too, one of the things that gets talked about the least is the income side of the budget. We talk about the expenses a lot, but the income side of the budget does not get talked about. And having a finance professional like Mr. Hall, you can rely on that information, because most of the shenanigans, a lot of the shenanigans, were on the income side of the budget, because they were false numbers. So it compounded this problem. I haven't reviewed the whole thing, but he's a professional, and he identified things
right away that we've been talking about, that the income numbers were at least as out of whack as artificially putting false numbers on the expense side of it. So that is something that you can take comfort in, knowing that, hey, those income numbers are real and legit numbers, and you have to trust the staff, the finance office staff, to be able to take those numbers, which are big numbers in the budget, benefits, the bonding, the pension things. Those come from professionals. They don't come from nowhere. So it's really critical that, you know, that you have that accurate information. And thankfully we have somebody that could give that to you, give it to us so that we can make decisions for the city. So we have, I mean, it is absolutely a time to come together, because it's a tough decision, and you have decisions to make. So,
right. And just, you know,
but don't forget about that income, and you know, we take it for granted because you just assume that somebody's telling the truth.
Sure.
And it is now, but that's not always the case. And it's easy to let that slip by, because, and the truth comes out in the audit and in the projected numbers to when you project it out, but you need you're relying on profession.
Sure. And I, again, you know, I wasn't present in the last, you know, a member of the last tax board, but just even having this document that Brian created, is from my understanding, from what I'm hearing, just so much more than what was ever provided. And now the numbers we're getting are actual, you know, they're numbers that are based in fact, Mark. I mean, you said, you know, the numbers are the numbers are the numbers, and that's true, but certainly they weren't last year. They weren't the year before. You know, what was being disseminated were just, you know, arbitrary numbers that didn't mean anything. We have something that does mean something. We've got not only a path for this year, but, you know, strategy for moving forward. You know, thank you. I appreciate your work.
No, and Mark makes a great point on the revenue side. I mean, there are challenges with some of our state funding. It is going down next year, you know, almost to the tune of $350,000 here, and there's another $200,000 at risk if the governor's budget gets passed as is. So, you know, that is a challenge, and we have to offset that as well as expenses. So it's a great point, and understanding what our collection rates are and reevaluating that, those things, they're going to help offset it. And that's why having, you know, a new tax collector is going to be so important, you know, in helping us solve some, you know, some of these gaps.
Does anybody else on the board have other questions? I would think, and definitely, you know, somebody speak up if anybody disagrees, but, you know, I would like to let set all the information, all the discussion we've had up to this point, and maybe use next Tuesday as, you know, going through the line items to weed through to see if there's anything specific people want to address, want to amend, you know, do that in next week's meeting. And if there's any specific requests as far as department heads that, you know, anybody on the board needs to hear from, then maybe to, you know, make me aware so we can invite them to the meeting. But as far as, you know, inviting all of them, I would think, and definitely I'll take people's perspectives being new, I would think it would make more sense to invite all of them. I'm sure they'll come to the public hearing, you know, at a time where they could answer all the questions, not only from this board, but from the public. I'm sure it's going to generate questions. You know, I don't want to make them come back, you know, time and time again, but definitely I'll look for input.
Colleen, maybe in the next week's meeting, we can get some solid questions for any of the department heads that we need questions from. So we're not going in there blind, maybe questioning or trying to get answers that maybe we can get through discussions amongst ourselves. So maybe we'll get a list of questions from each other for the department heads before we call them all in and waste anybody's time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So if anybody has any, you know, specific department heads or a list of questions that they feel they would like addressed at the next meeting, if you could let myself and Mayor Joe know, Brian, Mark, Linda, we could make sure that we're extending an invite so that they could be answered accordingly. Definitely, you know, I did have a lot of questions marked out for last week, Brian, and, you know, all the questions that I had, you were able to answer. But definitely, if people still have them, I think absolutely we've got to make sure that, you know, coming out of this, we don't have any more questions. We shouldn't.
I agree.
Madam Chair, the record should also reflect that Mr. Gray entered the meeting at 7:16 p.m.
Hi, Mike. Mike, do you have any questions, any input on the meeting?
Well, it said Mike, so I assumed it was Mike Gray. So I changed.
Yeah, I see Mike Gray on my end, so it's him.
Yeah, my mic was off, so maybe he didn't even hear me. Welcome, Mr. Gray.
We passed the budget, Mike. We're all set. So
thanks for So
if you have the questions, it's probably better to email the mayor's office and Mr. Hall and myself, and then we could compile them and get them to who they need to. So they'll have the, because it's a short week and next week is the primary too on Tuesday. So the sooner you, and I know it's a busy week for everybody, but the sooner you could get them to us, then we can pass them through to whoever needs to get back to you.
Yeah. And if you could also include me on them, I would appreciate it.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No worries.
My view is blocked the view. So I'm sorry. Again.
Sure. So Mike, just an overview. We did go over our thoughts and ideas. It seems like, you know, people have a better understanding and perspective as far as the mayor's preliminary budget. So we did agree to use the next few days to try to think of any questions that still exist in anybody's mind, to invite specific department heads if there are any that are needed to attend next week's session. But then to start looking at the budget and going through line by line to see if there's, you know, a consensus of acceptance, if there's things that need to be amended, and to go from there. Does anybody have any input? Or, you know, if that sounds acceptable, then I would think that we could adjourn.
Yep, and I think the only thing I'll add is that I will work diligently over the next 2 days so that Thursday night, some of these, you know, smaller adjustments to tighten this up get completed and sent out to you with a very straightforward summary of what changed and why it changed. Maybe we touch on that initially, but I think it will also help as you work through these departments and we go department by department, it'll probably alleviate a few of the questions that would have popped up or have popped up in the past. And we'll know that they've been addressed and that the overall picture hasn't changed. So and also make sure I do that as well.
And thank you so much, Brian. You do. You get back to us like, I can't believe how quick you your emails. Like, I almost wonder if you sleep or if your wife's still talking to you because you do answer us so quickly. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're definitely on it, Brian. Thank you.
So, I just want to restate, if anybody has in their heads a specific department head that they do need to hear from,
You know, as Mark said, it is a short week. It's a holiday week. So if we could try to identify whoever, if there is anybody, you know, hopefully by tomorrow, Thursday at the latest, so at least that individual would have notice, that would be helpful. Hearing no more, I would, anybody make a motion to adjourn?
Bimini Patel.
I'll second.
Yeah, I think Mike is having difficulty unmuting.
Yeah, he was going in and out.
Yeah, I wasn't able to hear him at all. Okay, so we have a motion to adjourn. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks for your work, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
7:23 p.m.
Meeting adjourned 7:24.
Well, have a good night, guys.
You too.